10 o'clock hour, Wilder Tausch begins now. All right, Tausch, I'm going to need you to help me here.
Okay.
Because I know that I'm not the biggest fan of Dan Orlovsky. You guys have him on whenever I take some time off. And again, I want to be clear. I think he does a very good job. My beef with him was that we had him on when he was doing like videos on Twitter breaking things down, and then he became a big deal and he never was returning our calls. But now he started to, at least when I'm not on the show. But he has a piece this morning on ESPN.com and ESPNWisconsin.com. And it's entitled Ranking NFL Quarterbacks by Trait. Best arm, accuracy, and more. Okay? So he has been a very vocal proponent of Jordan Love, right? Lavishing praise upon the Packers quarterback, correct?
He has, yes.
Okay. So I'm going to go through the categories, and I'm going to ask you to help me understand the number of times Jordan Love is included versus the number of times he's not in his top 10 of a quality, okay?
Okay.
Arm strength. Jordan Love is not in his top 10. Ball placement. Jordan Love is not in his top 10. Mechanics. Jordan Love is not in his top 10. Decision-making with the football. Jordan Love is sixth. In front of him, Brock Purdy, 5, C.J. Stroud, 4, Burrow, 3, Stafford, 2, Rodgers, 1. Pocket presence, Jordan Love is 7th. Rushing ability, Jordan Love is not in the top 10.
Okay.
So far he's been listed in two categories, am I right? Second reaction ability, Jordan Love is 5th. I'm curious if you think that Jordan Love is so good and is a top 5 quarterback, then why is he not on more of your lists?
Well, I mean, there's also other quarterbacks, and, you know, I think one of the things when you're doing national stuff is you're trying to, and I don't want to use the term appease, but you're trying to, you know, limit, or if you feel really good about one guy, you probably, Dan Orlovsky feels really good about a lot of quarterbacks. And I think Jordan loves samples. Well, he does. Like he loves Matthew Stafford. He played with him. So he's got his own biases too. But I think most national analysts need to see more. They've seen glimpses of where Jordan Love's at, but I guess the question I have is, what is Jordan's number one attribute right now? If you were going to say he should be in the top three of this, what is it?
Before we do that, which is a great follow-up question, and that's what we're known for around here is follow-ups, or at least one of us is, and it's not me. Just out of curiosity, I wanted to do Brock Purdy's number of top tens in his list, because you and I are both skeptics on him. Fair? Like, good.
Yes.
Surrounded by a lot of talent. Maybe it's unfair, especially for a guy who was a seventh-round pick, to be as dubious about another seventh-round pick as you are. But the bottom line is I'm with you.
No,
I want to see more.
No. My dubiousness isn't – I think Brock Purdy's a good NFL quarterback. Mm-hmm. Like, he's good.
Mm-hmm.
This crowning him MVP and everything else is where I pushed back.
Yeah,
like, I think Brock Purdy is a starting quarterback in the NFL. Is he as good as Jordan Love? He's not. Is he one of the top 5 quarterbacks in the league? He's not. And again, you can only work with whom you have. But when he was called upon last year in 3 or 4 games, I think it was for sure 3. Where Trent Williams was out and Debo was out. And I don't know if McCaffrey was still playing or he was dinged up.
4 picks.
Their offense stunk. And Jordan Love had to grow. And obviously he was better when his O-line was good. Quarterbacks, hey, guys, quarterbacks are better when you have great players around him. That I don't know if that's a newsflash, but the great quarterbacks, the guys that Brock Purdy were being compared with last year, they make it that way. And I don't know if Brock Purdy will ever get there. Maybe he will. I know this. He ain't there now. That doesn't mean, you know, and I'm not going to compare him to Tom Brady, but he's a late pick that's getting a lot of love. Tom Brady wasn't there when he first got going. It takes some time and confidence building to get there. And Brock Purdy ain't there yet. That's my point.
He is also not there on the arm strength list. He is sixth on the ball placement list, a list that Jordan Love was not on. He is ninth in mechanics, a list that Jordan Love was not on. He is fifth on the decision-making with the football, one step above Jordan Love. He is sixth in pocket presence, one step above Jordan Love. He is not on the rushing ability list, and he is fourth, one step above Jordan Love, in the second reaction ability list. So again, I ask you, it sure seems to me that if you put him higher than Jordan Love and on lists that Jordan Love isn't on, the reasonable conclusion to make from Dan Orlovsky's list is that he thinks Brock Purdy is better than Jordan Love, which you and I both disagree upon.
Yeah, we
Am
disagree.
Am I being unfair?
And by the way, I think Kyle Shanahan would disagree too. He wouldn't say that publicly. I think he likes Brock Purdy. But I listen, man, everybody's got different tastes. Dan Orlovsky, I think, is looking for, you know, the ball play, all this other stuff. Jordan Love is a better athlete. He's got a stronger arm, and I think he's a better all-around quarterback than Brock Purdy. You can say, well, Brock Purdy beat you, and they did. But there's a drop pick. There's again, there's always things that you could look at and deal with. And I would bet if you pulled 32 teams right now, all things equal, salary, everything else, Jordan Love or Brock Purdy, I would venture to say you'd get 30 of 32 teams back that would say Jordan Love. That's where I'm at. And I think that would be, I think the polling would, that's the way I think that would go.
All right, I want to get to the kicking game and what we learned, if anything, about Anders Carlson and Greg Joseph. We didn't learn anything about the skipper, Alex Hale, because he was the only player that dressed for the game that didn't get to play. So good thing I didn't pick him as my Steinhoffel sleeper of the week. Tausch, I'm guessing that Alex was standing on the sideline saying, "Pour me in, coach," and maybe he had a Tito's afterward when he didn't get in.
Potentially he did. Tito's handmade vodka on game day. Yeah, pour me in, coach. From a seat in the stands to the best seat on the couch, root for your favorite team with your favorite team spirit. Stack a spicy Bloody Mary for your warm-up. Salt the rim of a Tito Rita during halftime, or take home the win with a Tito's in anything. Soda, cranberry. I like a little cranberry. I don't mind a little lemonade. Or you can do that water with a squeeze of lemon. You call the game. You can change up your roster or wash that lucky jersey as long as you make Tito's your first round bottle pick. Whose house? Oh, you know it's Tito's house. Find cocktail recipes for every fan at titosvodka.com. Crafted to be savored responsibly.
Kind of like the little twist you put on that there. That was, you know it's Tito's house. Love it.
Twisty.
You're quite the twisty. All right, we will get to the kicking game and Tausch's impressions. I know you don't do impressions, but your thoughts on the kickoff and what you saw of that. That we will do next. It's Wildy and Tausch. Ain't it good time, but when is it ever? I know the perfect time.
You can hurt me tomorrow. You can hurt me. You can hurt me. You can hurt me. You can hurt me. You can hurt me.
Well, I get old boy to the golf course. It's And we'll play a little trivia while he makes that commute. But before we can do that, Tausch, again, I saw it on Family Night from seven floors up. Saw it on television on Saturday. These kickoffs are going to take some getting used to. It just looks so different. And I can't figure out what the best strategy is. But the good news is I'm not the only one, because it seems like NFL special teams coaches are having the same issue. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah. And I think my question is, what are the chances that they wipe this out and go back to normal by regular season? Is there a chance? Because you said this, and this has really rung true for me in saying the UFL / XFL / USFL, I think it was the USFL, maybe it was the XFL, implemented this.
XFL.
And when they all the XFL, when they all unified, they all said, it's not worth it. It didn't bring anything extra to the game. And I think the reason the NFL is doing this is not because of player safety. Let's not kid ourselves on that. That's going to be something that they'll say. The reason they're saying is because scoring was down last year. And someone mentioned this the other day, like the 30-yard line, Mike Ayers, our old analytics dude. Now, I know the Packers have a bunch of people that are doing this. Mm-hmm. Your chances of scoring, if you go from the 20 to the 25 or the 25 to the 30, it goes up somewhere between 5 to 6%, which you don't think is a big deal. But over over all these games, the NFL wants more points. They want more offense. And the best way to do that is by giving better field position to start.
No doubt.
And this kickoff rule is all about that. It looks clunky. I think players, you willy-nilly just kind of threw this at coaches. I don't know how much foresight or questions you took and input you took from all of these special teams coaches. I don't think a ton. And I just wonder if they did this with the extra point a few years ago. I think that's been a success. Is this going to be successful? I think for the cause of what they're asking, it will. It's going to have more kickoff returns. So the question I just keep coming back to, why did they, which was this play was too dangerous to do. Mm-hmm. And now you can't onside kick. You have to announce and do all this other stuff and be behind. I just wonder if at some point they're going to say, the UFL, this isn't even good enough for the UFL. And we're going to keep doing it. So I hope that's what they do, but I'm an old stodgy, let's not change things that are working. I didn't think it was that big a deal, but I think the fact that you're going to see scoring up in the preseason is going to probably swing this thing, that they're going to continue to do it. And the fact that there's going to be added strategy and added things that, bring more excitement to it, the NFL's on it. And so that's kind of where my head's at. I don't like it, but I understand why they're doing it.
So, again, their argument was that the kickoff return had become a non-play. No action.
That's what they wanted, though.
They had a Super Bowl where it was like what the extra point used to be when it was so short. They wanted these plays that were kind of predetermined outcomes to no longer be that, while also making it safer than, our guy Tony Palmer, who was injured on a kickoff return, and all those kinds of issues that were there when there was a wedge and a wedge buster and everything else. And so that's why this is what they came up with. Again, I also think it appears, from what I saw anecdotally, it's not easy. It's kind of like trying to hit a lob wedge in golf, and you don't want to hit it. You don't want to fly the green, and you don't want to come up short of the green. And these kickers, it's going to take a while for them to calibrate how to have it land where they want it to land, because they're certainly not swinging away like they would have when they were kicking it out of the back of the end zone. So I'm with you. I don't know what it's going to end up looking like, but they want it to be a competitive play. They want returns, but they want to try and mitigate the danger of those returns. That's their philosophy.
Yeah, and I think they want all that, but what they really want is more scoring. And you're this right. will help them get that. There's no doubt, because I think you're going to see a lot of ball. You're not going to see many balls inside the 20-yard line anymore. You're going to see most returns starting 30-plus, and when you do that, the odds of scoring go up that much higher. And when it comes to gambling and fantasy sports, which is what has driven this game to the unparalleled success that it's at, they mm-hmm. want more. And that's why they're doing this. Don't try to twist it and say there's any other reason why they're doing it, because I got a hard time buying it.
What you don't have a hard time buying is how you can make some extra cash by doing one of Fortrea's many great trials.
Yeah, I talk a lot about the trials for the heavier set, fellas. Just trials all over the place. Head to FortreaClinicalTrials.com. And if you're looking for a little extra spending cash, you want to get to a Packers game, you want to get to a Badgers game, you want to get out to the Badgers hoops, Marquette, whatever it might be, Fortrea's got you covered. Healthy adults ages 18 to 60, BMI 18 to 32. Study two stays totaling 15 nights, 7 follow-ups, $13,820 for your time and participation. Head to FortreaClinicalTrials.com. That's Fortrea, F-O-R-T-R-E-A, clinicaltrials.com.
All right, we say a brief farewell to Tausch as he gets out to the big event in Door County to support the Boys and Girls Club. He will rejoin us a little bit later in the program. While he is gone, we will play some trivia. Riley, you handled trivia on Friday. There was not necessarily harsh critique, but
some mild critique. Yeah.
Critique. Mm-hmm. Were you tied into Jesse's sports weekend recap as a category, or were you able to choose whatever you wanted since it is your day to be the producer? How did that play out?
Yeah, it is my day, but I figured we'd stick with tradition here. I did go with the sports weekend recap, and I think a lot happened this weekend with the Olympics, and you had preseason starting, the Brewers were on a tear, so I thought it was a solid category still.
All right, well, we will play that. There were 40 gold medals won by the United States. There were also 40 gold medals won by China. So they ended up tied in terms of gold medals. I'm not going to ask you to take caller 40. I would not do that to you. Maybe someday, but not yet. So let's just do caller 4 instead. Caller 4, 844-770-3776, 844-770-3776. Caller 4 will play the Sports Weekend Recap Trivia. Next, it's Will Dean's Out. So last week, I think it was last week, training camp, all the weeks run together. But last week, I was making the trek down to practice, and I missed trivia, because that's usually when we do trivia, is when I'm on my way down to Ray Nitschke Field. And Dan in Brothertown was the contestant. And I was listening, because I kept it on as I was walking, but I was disappointed because I really wanted to discuss with Dan Green Bay Phoenix women's basketball. Because, Dan, good morning, first of all. How are you?
Good, Jason. How are you today, man?
I'm great, but I'm even better because I don't know if we've actually gotten to talk since your daughter became the UW Green Bay women's basketball coach, and you went from being Coyote Dan, or whatever we were calling you, to what are you now? Like, Rise With Us Dan? Phoenix Dan? What are you exactly?
I'm just a big Phoenix fan, and by the way, she's my daughter-in-law. She's married to my son.
a daughter-in-law.
Hmm.
That's correct.
Well, at least I know your last name now. All right. Well, yes, we're excited for her, and we're excited for you to play trivia. The Sports That's Weekend right. Recap is the category. Question number one is this. The 2024 Paris Olympic Games officially ended last night. I know Riley enjoyed the interpretive dance that they did with the guy in the yellow and raising the rings and everything else. Which city will host the 2028 Summer Olympic Games when they come to the United States? Which city will be the host of the 2028 Summer Olympic Games? Will it be Los Angeles, New York, or Green Bay, with my basement serving as the breakdancing venue?
Oh my God, I missed that. I'm going to say Los Angeles. There we go.
Los Angeles is correct. You're one for one. Nicely done. All right, question two. I have not been following this. I knew they had a win streak going. I don't know how long it was, though, so we'll learn this one together, potentially. The Brewers lost to the Reds yesterday afternoon by a score of 4-3, snapping a win streak of how many games for Milwaukee? Was it an 8-game winning streak, a 3-game winning streak, or a 5-game winning streak?
That was 5 games.
Swept the Braves, won the first two against the Reds, and then lost yesterday. You are correct, Dan. All right, question three. Only 6 players have ever won an NBA title and a gold medal in the same year going into the 2024 Olympics. How many players were added to the list after the United States defeated France on Saturday? How many players now have won an NBA title and a gold medal in the same year? And how many were added to that list Saturday? Was it 1 player was added, 2 players were added, or 3?
That was 2 players added.
Indeed, Jason Tatum and Derek White. Jrue Holiday won a gold, I guess it would have been in 2021, technically, right, in Tokyo, since they pushed those back by a year?
Yep.
After he won the title with the Bucks.
Yep.
Nicely done. Well, we're off to a perfect week, other than me thinking that that Kayla was your daughter, not your daughter-in-law. So, you have 4 entries into our drawing on Friday. Riley, remember to do it this past Friday. We'll see if Jesse remembers or if Jesse's even working on Friday coming up later in the week. Dan, thanks for playing. We appreciate you.
Hey, Jason, did your daughter by chance go to camp, basketball camp for Kayla?
They had it earlier than we had anticipated since they were transitioning coaching staffs. So she did not go. Sure. She will go next year for sure, though. She was bummed that she missed it. But yes, we were. I was corresponding with Kayla, so I was disappointed she didn't get to go. All right, buddy, we appreciate you. Thanks.
Awesome. All right, we'll catch you at a game.
Yes, you definitely will. All right, that's Will Diatow's trivia. Dan gets all 3 right. He's got 4 entries into the drawing. Riley, you asked a lot of Olympic questions.
That I did. Your audio just cut out for some reason. Is that on your end or is that my mistake? Well, I guess we're experiencing some technical difficulties. See if we can figure this out ASAP.
I'm back.
Oh, he's back. He's back. That's huge.
So apparently, when spam people call you when you're in the middle of doing a radio show from your phone device, it knocks you off the air, which...
Oh, wow. Okay.
I don't know how I can prevent that. I've figured out how to solve the internet problem, but I apparently have not figured out how to solve the connectivity problem when somebody calls me. So the 715 number that was spamming me, don't call again. So I'm sorry. Since I lost you, did you watch the close? I really enjoyed it. And I think I have a new band that I like in this band, Phoenix, not to be confused with the Green Bay Phoenix, that played the show last night. Did you watch it all?
Watch which show last night? Oh, the closing
ceremony?
No, I just saw the one clip of Tom Cruise jumping off the roof. Yeah, that was all I saw from the closing ceremony. I didn't really pay attention to that. I don't think I watched any of the Olympics yesterday.
Well, there were some pretty important games that were played before the closing ceremonies, but...
I watched the women's basketball team win gold. That was fun,
too.
There we go. I just forgot. That was in the morning.
Yeah. Well, you're a little frazzled because for a minute there, you were the only one on the show.
Yeah, that's not ideal.
I do want to get to a couple of questions that you had based on Saturday's game that I will try to answer. We'll do that coming up next. Want to remind you that if you haven't made the switch to Associated Bank, what are you waiting for? I've given you all kinds of reasons for a very long time, and I will continue to give them to you. Of course, first of all, if you're a Packers fan, no better place to be. Packers checking, get your Packers debit MasterCard. You get 10% off the Packers Pro Shop, both in-store and online, and you get to show your true colors with your Packers check. Secondly, it's early pay, which if you have direct deposit from your employer, you can get access to your money up to 2 days early, and you never know when you're going to need that opportunity. And, of course, the best customer service in the industry. They've got the awards to prove it. They've won J.D. Power Awards. They've won other awards. They're the best. There's no doubt about it, and they've got all those trophies in their trophy case to show it. So go to AssociatedBank.com to find out more. Riley and I talk a little more about the preseason opener, and then we'll be rejoined by Old T during the 11 o'clock hour. So stick around. It's Wilde and Tausch.
Zee, go, baby, go, go, go.
Old boy will rejoin us here in a little while. In the meantime, that's catchy. Riley and I are holding down the fort.
Whoop, whoop.
Riley, did you or did any of our texters or YouTube commenters have questions that jumped out at you from the game on Saturday?
So I have a question. Going into this game, everyone was talking about the defense and what that would look like. I understand it was a very sort of vanilla, basic defense. I know Matt LaFleur said Halfley's call sheet was very limited. But what did you glean from the first preseason game about this new-look defense from the Packers?
So I want to get Tausch's thoughts on this when he returns to the program. But I would say this. I thought for all the advanced billing of how aggressive this defense was going to be, I thought we saw proof of it. I thought we saw Devontae Wyatt on back-to-back plays generating quarterback pressures. Now, again, I don't know how good that offensive line was that the Browns trotted out there. I know they didn't start some of their best guys. I know they lost a guy to a knee or an ankle injury, and then traded for a new center from Seattle, so they clearly are going to be missing that dude for a while. So I don't know how good the competition level was. I say that to preface this. It looked exactly like we were being told it was going to look. They were aggressive up the field. We saw Lucas Van Ness have one sack and almost have another one I mentioned the Devontae Wyatt pressures that he had, one that led to a sack by LVN. So I thought that that was really noticeable. You know, I thought Kalen King, the seventh round pick, who we kind of feel like has a pretty bright future, him and Carrington Valentine from a year ago.
Yeah, shout out Marty from the Port for also being a big fan of Kalen King. That was his positive for today. I think he could be a draft steal.
Yes. And if you end up with two corners that can play out of the seventh round each of the last 2 years in Carrington Valentine, who's been sidelined by a hamstring injury, and Kalen King, that's pretty darn good. And it's another example of Goody's really strong drafts in recent years. So I liked what I saw from him. I thought Robert Rochelle, the musical, which is a Seinfeld reference that you won't get because you're not old like us.
Yeah, sorry. Never watched Seinfeld. Right.
Indeed. But the fact that he's a special teams guy and then also played well at corner, I thought was interesting. And then obviously the safety spot, right? I mean, we saw Xavier McKinney for a little while. We probably won't see him again, at least not this week, according to what Matt LaFleur said. But I thought we saw some glimpses of what they have at the safety position. They started Javon Bullard, then Evan Williams came in. He had that tackle of the guy near the sideline where the guy landed. His helmet came off, and then the guy's butt landed on his head. That seemed painful to me.
Yeah, I watched a little compilation. Someone just like spliced together all of Evan Williams' highlights from the day, and that one, yeah. Those kind of tackles always make you grimace a little bit.
I don't know if the guy was actually down by contact, if his knee hit after his butt landed on Evan's head, because I guess he wouldn't have been down at that point.
I know in the moment when I was watching at the bar, it looked like he wasn't down, but I think if you slow it down, like he just kind of grazes, his knee just grazes
steps out of bounds anyway.
Yeah, oh, okay, yeah.
But he had, you know, Evan Williams forced a fumble. He's had four interceptions in practice, so he has a knack. And again, he draws that comparison to, in my mind anyway, Micah Hyde, who was another day three draft pick who played safety in college at Iowa and turned out to be a really, really good football player for them. We'll see if Evan Williams has a similar career. That's pretty high praise for me to be putting on him.
Yeah.
But they've got some options at safety, which I think is really, really encouraging. I also, you know, and we'll ask Matt LaFleur this coming up in a little less than an hour, but, you know, they didn't have either of their inside linebackers that they drafted available to them. Edgerrin Cooper, the second round pick, was out with a hip injury. And the third round pick, Tyron Hopper, was out. I think his was an ankle. So you didn't get to see either one of those guys, which I think people like you and others were really eager to see them. They're pretty high day two picks that you were expecting to be involved, and who knows when they'll be back healthy enough to practice.
Yeah, I saw the Packers scratch list, and that was a little disappointing. Was looking forward to seeing those guys. But I have a question here, switching over to the offensive side of the ball, from Chef Ed. He had as his negative that Love seems to have a hard time with the short pass in the flat. I don't know. What are your thoughts on that? Do you agree with Chef Ed on this one? I'll be honest. I don't remember Love's first two pass attempts.
Yeah, he only had two. One was the touchdown, and one was a throw to Josh Jacobs in the flat for a 2-yard loss. Now, we heard Jeff call in earlier who said that it was right where it needed to be. I'm with you. I don't really remember that. I'll have to go back and look at it on NFL Plus. But I certainly remember the next pass. That one I do remember. And it looked like they got Wicks matched up on a safety. He beat him with a really good route. And then it almost looked like the guy was – it was 33 for them.
Mm-hmm.
It looked like he was, like, grabbing at his hamstring. Like, I don't know.
Okay.
Is that, do you fake that when he's running away from you? Oh, my hamstring.
It's like when the wide receiver drops the ball or the QB overthrows it and they start freaking out, throw up the X, the box, whatever. They start celebrating like crazy. You get beat. It was my hammy. Pulled my hammy.
Yeah, I don't know if that was the issue, but certainly he got cooked on that play. But no, I'll have to go back and look at it. I don't remember vividly enough how good or not good of a, it was for a 2-yard loss, so the play didn't work,
mm-hmm.
obviously. And I think Josh Jacobs had a 7-yard run on the very first play from scrimmage. So we'll get to more of the YouTube comments and your text messages. We got a lot of positives and negatives texted in early in the show, and then we kind of meandered about.
Yeah, kind of fell
thereafter.
Off.
Well, the show went in a variety of different directions, to be fair. So, all right, we'll get to that. Old boy's going to rejoin us, hopefully, up in Door County. Can't believe he drove right through town. Didn't even stop by to say hi. We will talk to him, hopefully, during the 11 o'clock hour. And that will start in 2 minutes. So stick around. It's Will Dean Tausch.